Saúde boa, tchau.
Hello and welcome to the Tiger's Den. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Tiger's Den, the official LSU podcast of the Dome Patrol United Network. I am your host, Scott. I'm not drunk. I wish I was after watching LSU get defeated by, of all people, the University of Kentucky Wildcats, 42-21. This was just pretty much a failure from start to finish. Max Johnson probably had one of his worst games as a Tiger. But miraculously, some kind of way, we got the running game going. So I guess there's a little bit of good in this nonsense. But we did sustain quite a few injuries, which we'll also talk about as I bring in my co-host, Wes. Wes, welcome to the show.
Hey, man. We're here to talk about LSU gymnastics and the women's soccer season, right?
Yeah, that's the only thing that's winning right now.
Yeah, I don't know if anything else there is going on with LSU sports.
Not much. Not much these days.
When does baseball season start? Let's get going with some baseball.
You got a ways to go, buddy. Basketball will be starting soon, so that's maybe something to look forward to.
When's National Signing Day? I need some good football news. Well, actually, may not be anything.
Yeah. It's going to be a while, I think, before you hear any quote-unquote good football news. The only good news you'll probably hear coming out of the football department, or the next good news you'll hear coming out of the football team, is that Coach O has been booted and let go. I don't think that it will take – I think Scott Woodward has already made phone calls and already has his sights set on someone. Who that someone is, I don't know. But I think that – He's not waiting, right, for the season to end. He's already making plans and making calls. And if it's any indication, the women's basketball hire and the football and the baseball hire, I mean, he goes pretty quick and, gets who he wants. So we'll see how that works out. But
I have a candidate, right, by the way. If at some point you want to talk about that today.
We can. I mean, we talked a little bit about it last time. Let's go through the game real quick. There's not much to talk about, but let's go through the game real quick, and then we'll get to that. So, like I said, LSU lost 42-21. Max Johnson, 22 for 38, 261 yards and a touchdown. Not his best performance at all.
Also, 42-21, like, sounds like a lopsided game. The game was worse than that.
Yeah, it was.
They were up 14-0 at halftime, and it should have been worse.
Yeah. We were getting pushed all over the field, both offensive side and the defensive side. Their quarterback only threw for 145 yards, but had three touchdowns, and they ran for 330 yards on supposedly one of the best defensive lines in the country in LSU. And then for Coach Joe, I think that's kind of adding insult to injury. After the game, he says, "Oh, I didn't realize Kentucky could run the ball that well. Like, what film have you been looking at, dude? What the fuck? Like, how do you not know that they can run well? They had two rushers over 100 yards, and the quarterback had 75 yards rushing. Our run game did get going. Tyron Davis Price, 22 carries, 147 yards. 6.7 yards a carry and two touchdowns. So that was very impressive that he finally got moving a little bit. But other than that,
he ran for 147 yards, and LSU on the day ran for 147 yards.
Right. Yeah.
So kind of an awkward thing, considering that, we thought that some of the younger running backs like Kiner and Goodwin looked energetic and other opportunities that they had before this game.
Well, Kiner and Goodwin only got four carries each.
Correct. I would just say, like, Kiner looked like he deserved to get four carries. His four carries he looked very different. And then kind of just talking about players being off, I would say to me, and please tell me if you saw something different. To me, On offense, I just saw what I thought was Max Johnson could not be consistent with deciding where to go with the ball and then delivering it there on time. It was so weird. I mean, we got two or three first downs on the first drive, or I think two, and then got a sack. But we couldn't make three positive plays in a row at all. We'd get two little 3 or 4 yard plays, or we'd get a first down, and then there was going to be some negative plays. On the defensive side, I kept worrying about the defense once Kentucky was running all over us, that the defense was going to look like they had quit on the coach. I was looking for that. I didn't see the defense, to me, look like they had quit on the coach. I looked at the defense just looking like they had no idea how to play football. They looked terribly coached. Well, we had guys just being in the wrong gaps, not filling their responsibilities, but then working really hard to chase the running back down from behind. A lot of the running back, when they get their 8 or 9 yards, they were being tackled by defensive linemen and linebackers hustling from behind. So it was a weird thing where I kept expecting to see the game, the team has quit on Orgeron. I don't think they've quit on him until maybe after this game. But they just looked like they were completely in the wrong place and had no idea where to be, and completely undisciplined as far as assignments and filling gaps. I don't know. It's like we put like the most athletic people in the country out there and said, hey, go be athletic on the football field, rather than teaching them how to play football. And it really looked that way to me. And that's probably more frustrating. I would understand at this point of like, okay, we just suck because, you know, there's been bad coaching and the coach doesn't hold them accountable or whatever it is, and they've quit. It looks like these guys have some sort of effort. They just don't have any idea what to do. But I mean, does it look like that? I mean, and again, offense and defense look different to me. Offense looks like Max Johnson just can't be consistent right now. And defense looks like they don't have any idea what to do.
Yeah. And it was kind of reminiscent of last year, where they were just kind of like confused, not sure where to line up, not sure where to go. I want to say Kentucky had a fourth down kind of close to the goal line, a fourth and one. And they hurried up to the line real fast and snapped the ball. And we were totally like not even ready.
Yep.
And they scored a touchdown. And it wasn't like Kentucky huddled, and there was like 8 seconds left on the play clock, and they ran up to the line and snapped it. So it wasn't like we didn't have time to prepare. It wasn't like they quick snapped it with still a lot of time left on the play clock. Like, there was 8 seconds left on the play clock. So you knew it was coming.
I think we did better. I mean, finally, this game is the best I've seen as far as us getting to the line and snapping the ball. We still did a little bit of check with me, but it wasn't as bad as what it's been. Having said that, it was frustrating because I think Kentucky was probably the best I've seen. If whatever play they called in the huddle was the play they were running at the line.
Oh yeah.
No doubt about it. Their offensive coordinator was making decisions, good or bad, no matter what the defense was doing, and was every time they did it, they went straight up to the line out of their huddle, and there was nobody on the team looking over the coach, wondering what to do. Do you want to change it up? And it just, that decisiveness, I mean, it was paralyzing how different it was between what we've done all year and then what they did.
Right. And, you know, we continue to do the as coach calls them, the check me's, and, you know, it worked when Burrow and Brady were here, but they were getting the plays in quicker. So you had time for it to, you know, to work. And Joe knew what he was doing, Brady and Burrow. Pete's just hasn't clicked. He just doesn't know exactly what's going on right now. And, you know, being a play caller, it's not like, it's not something you should have to learn on the job, right? You know, that's why you don't hire somebody who's never been a coordinator. I was excited at the Pete's hire, okay? You know, you're always excited when you get a new coach and, you know, they're supposed to come in and run the offense that we had, you know, but it's obvious that he just doesn't have, and it's his first offensive coordinator position, and maybe he'll get it and develop it more as he goes, but this isn't like a FBS school where you can just, you know, learn on the job. This is a top program where you need to come in knowing what you're doing, knowing what's going on.
Well, and it's, I mean, we've talked about it in the previous weeks. Like every week we're playing many players that are going to the NFL. And this isn't just one of those things where LSU can just get on the field and outclass their opponent every week. The football players get bigger and more athletic every year. All of the SEC teams recruit well. Even the SEC teams that are bad, like Kentucky has been, they get top talent because those people get to show off against other top talent for their NFL highlight tape. And so we can't just outclass people by walking out on the field and being bigger and better and having a deeper team than them. We have to be coached well. And I agree with you. Like somebody that hasn't been an offensive coordinator, I don't know if it was fair to put him in this position. It looks like it really wasn't. And this guy might end up being an excellent offensive coordinator. Obviously he knows some things about offense and, you know, probably coaching, but this was a big step for anybody.
As far as the game goes, I don't really have, I don't know. Do you have anything else that you can?
Yeah, I mean, I'll say I want to give Kentucky credit.
Yeah, I did want to say that. I forgot. I was about to say that.
This, they were in the right state of mind to play this game. Stupidly last week said that Kentucky was like the worst 5-0 team that there'd ever been or something. I probably didn't say that, but something close to that. I'm going to also go and say they're about to get murdered by Georgia.
But
after that, they're not going to lose another game this year. Mm-hmm. And so Kentucky's going to be a top 10 team at the end of this year, in consideration for some huge bowl games. And so I want to give them credit. Like every time they showed any of their coaches on the sidelines, they look composed, they look energetic. The players kept up their crowd. I was not expecting a Kentucky crowd to be as fired up and loud and interjector, but I want to give Kentucky credit. They are a good team. Even if we had played our best game of the season, like we were not beating that team.
Yeah. Their fans were definitely into it and kind of just shows you when your team's rolling and doing well, that the fans will come out of the woodworks because they haven't been good for a long time. But yeah, I mean, they're definitely a legit team and, you know, could be one of the top, you know, contenders.
Number 11 now.
Wow.
Number 11 versus number one Georgia this week.
Yeah. And, you know, they'll probably get killed by Georgia, but I bet you, I don't know what the line is, but I bet you it's a closer game.
23.
I would take Kentucky almost in the points.
Woo.
Just because I think it's going to be closer than people think. I really, really do. And I could be totally off, but that's just my thoughts. Their problem is that I think they probably run the ball more than throw. Or actually, I thought they were supposed to be a throwing team more. They ran over us. So if you're one-dimensional, it's really hard to beat a team like a Georgia or Alabama. So they'll probably lose, but I think it could be closer than people think.
They've won their last few games 229-30. Yeah. Their last five games, Georgia has won 229 points to 30.
Yeah, I might take Georgia. I probably wouldn't even bet that game. Like when you give lines that crazy, I just stay
and
away.
And two of them are against top 20 teams. I mean, this is.
Yeah. I would stay away from that game if I was.
But again, that has nothing to do with LSU. LSU could have played their best game of the year. I'm not going to make the excuse of who was hurt and who didn't play. Stingley and everybody else could have played and been healthy.
And we still would have lost.
This team, it would have been closer maybe, but this team was better than LSU.
Yes, 100% agree. So coming out of this game, the injury bug has seriously bitten LSU.
Has the injury bug hit LSU, or is the I don't want to play football at LSU anymore bug hit LSU?
It could be a combination of
both. This happened last year.
It did. So I guess we can go player by player. Kayshawn Boutte is out for the season due to an ankle injury.
Probably the one that I believe is as legit as can be.
Okay. Allie Gay is out. He is out for this game, maybe out for the season. It hasn't been confirmed yet that he is out for the season that I've seen. But
I had heard season, but that doesn't mean it's correct.
Yeah. So he is out. Eli Ricks is having shoulder surgery. He is out for the year. They did speak with his mom today on the radio. She said, quote, this is not an opt out. This is not. He's not going to. This is not a he's going to transfer. So from what Mama Rick says is that he will be back.
Whether true or not, I don't want to act like I have a super good inside connection. What I heard is this was a shoulder injury he probably could have played with. This is a 5-1 or 6-0 team. He's opting for surgery so that he can be 110% healthy for next season or just go and get it over with.
I mean, he'd probably have to get in the off season, but to take a chance to injure it more or whatever, he just decided
There's nothing he needs to risk play or, you know, play hurt for.
Did I miss anyone? Anyone else that you can think of? Stingley's out. Andre Anthony's out. Let's see. Ricks, Gay, Booty.
So now we're going to have Flott starting at cornerback. And apparently five-star safety Sage Ryan
will finally
play football.
Yes. So
I don't think is a bad thing. Let's go ahead and figure out what's going on. Let's get him some.
Right. Yes. So, according to Coach McLaughlin and Flott, like you said, are planning to be the starters at corner. Sage Ryan is going to be at nickel. He's had 2 weeks of practice and he's healthy and expected to play. So,
also, the one thing I do want to, and my reason I believe the thing with Boutte, if you go back and watch the game, I think he was hurt on the very first play of the game. The very first play of the game.
Well, he was out the second half, wasn't he?
Right, but I'm talking about the first play of the entire game.
Okay.
I think he went over and got hurt. He was walking back to. He didn't come out of the game. He walked right back to the line for the next play, and he went into the slot. But he was doing everything he could to not show that he was limping. And then maybe five or six plays later, he got twisted up in the backfield, and he was laying there hitting the ground. He was hurt. Came out for three or four or five plays, and then came back in again. I believe he was trying to work through it, but there's probably something wrong with his ankle.
Yeah, I definitely think his injury.
I have no reason to believe that he's somebody that would transfer, and not come back to LSU. I think he's a kid that grew up loving and wanting to be part of LSU.
Now we kind of talk about this every week, and I guess it bears bringing up again. With all these players being hurt, opting, whatever you want to call it, we bring up Miles Brennan again. Does he even want to come back and play?
I mean, it seems like he would want to because he needs to get something on tape for NFL teams. Yeah. Having said that, if the only thing he can get on tape is getting sacked, I mean, maybe he just goes into, like, I'm going to work out for these teams and, you know, I'm now concentrating on being a 6th or 7th round draft pick or undrafted free agent, and that's my way into the league. I don't know what he could do in the last 3 or 4 games that would cause him to be a 3rd-round draft pick or anything like that.
Well, kind of speaking of that, the talk about getting sacked, Coach O says the offensive line is back and healthy and at full strength, and we will see the full-strength offensive line this weekend.
And I don't know if you're alluding to it, but he did say that Coach O said originally where we thought that Brennan was going to come back in the off week before the Alabama game. He right now, he's not confirming anything, but does not believe he'll be back during that week.
Okay.
So, I mean, so if we're talking about Brennan coming back, it's really at the very end of the year. And I don't know. I mean, if we're talking about that, I mean, have you seen enough to where you think does Max Johnson need maturity and need to get beat up and need some game experience losing the rest of the year? Or are we seen enough and like we really need to see if Neusmeyer is our quarterback next year? And if he's going to mature and step up. And do you factor in the fact that if you do that, Max Johnson's brother, who's a high recruited tight end, probably is not coming here to watch his brother sit on the bench.
My kind of thing is, I mean, you're going to have a new coach next year, really one way or the other. I really think that it's going to be an open competition for quarterback next year. I don't think whatever happens this year is really going to matter. I think once camp opens in spring and all that, I think it's going to be open competition because you're going to be you're going to have Nussmeier, you're going to have Max Walker Johnson, Howard. Walker Howard is going to be on campus. And if your new coach comes in and, you know, you got these two other guys who have been there, you got Walker Howard, who you can really mold to what you want him to be, and he's good. Now, Walker Howard's going to be coming off an injury too, right? So I don't know. I don't think whatever happens this year is going to have any effect on next year as far as playing. I think everybody's going to kind of start with a clean slate. And depending on who they get as a coach, you could get transfers. I mean, let me do this. Would you agree that Coach O is gone after this year?
Yeah, I wanted to hit the brakes last week when we were talking about it and just be respectful. There's nothing. I have no faith that we can go on a run this year, I'm not sure if I understand delaying it much longer. Besides just out of respect for him, but all I care about is how does this affect recruiting? What puts the best look to when you go to these recruits and say, hey, we admitted we were having a bad season. We cut the string as soon as we could. We are headed in a different direction. We're going to win. Come be a part of this.
Right. And Woodward, like we talked about, has been known to keep coaches for the whole season. And he did it at Washington, he did it at Texas A&M. However, with Coach O, the way he's almost like a liability at some point, like the way everything he says and everything he does is getting picked apart in a negative way. And he's walking into a lot of stupid traps and stupid quotes. And it's just like, how much of a PR issue is he? How much of a liability is he at this moment? If I were Woodward at this point on the bye week, I'd say, Coach, we're going to let you go.
Which is three more games.
The bye week, isn't it two? It's before Bama.
Yeah, we've got Florida. Yeah, Florida and Ole Miss.
Florida and Ole Miss. So I would say let him coach against Florida. Let him coach against his former team, Ole Miss, and say, bye, coach, thank you. And that's it. Make Mickey Joseph the interim coach, and let's move forward. And the reason why I brought up, you know, recruiting and you could have people transfer. If you get a big name coach, a coach that players are going to want to play for, people will transfer to your school. Look at the baseball team. Look how many people have transferred from other schools to work with Jay Johnson. I mean, they have kids transferring from Arizona where he was at to come to LSU to be with him. I don't think it's likely, but if you had Nick Saban come back, do you know how many transfers are going to want to come here and possibly could play at every position?
I think the Saban thing's a 0% chance, but
I do too.
Most of these coaches, you'd have to figure out a way for them to get out of their season and finish it. So you really couldn't announce anything until Christmas.
Oh, you wouldn't be able to announce. Yeah, you wouldn't be able to announce till the season.
Unless you hired a coach who's not working right now. That was a huge name. I'm down to two people who I'm pushing for, and one of them is not working right now. And whether you like it or not, would help recruiting.
Is one of them Stoops?
Bob Stoops. Bob Stoops is one of them. Now he's my second pick. But if we're talking about recruiting, what's an announcement you can make?
Well, okay.
Monday.
Recruiting, there's two aspects. There's the recruiting and then there's the coaching.
Yep.
Like Coach O is a great recruiter. He just can't coach for shit. I need somebody that can do both.
Well, Bob Stoops' name can recruit right now. It would be news. I believe it'd be a huge thing. And we already, LSU is going to do well in Texas and Louisiana recruiting. You put Bob Stoops in, we're pulling people out of Oklahoma like crazy. And Kansas and north of there, we're pulling out of some of those areas too.
Who's your number one?
Billy Napier. University of Louisiana Lafayette. He's done enough. He's had the experience there. He is an offensive coach. And we need, with Walker Howard and what we have and what we've been able to do with running backs, we need an offensive coach that's going to get us back to an aggressive scoring offense. And again, I mean, he's jumping to a Power Five school after what he's done. I think he turned down multiple jobs last year and they gave him a raise. This next year, he's going to get offered a lot of money from somebody. And I think that if he's liking Louisiana, there's not a better, like, just step up, doesn't have to move very far. And if he can do that with Lafayette, I'd like to see what he could do with real players.
I just don't think he's a big enough name. I still think that LSU, despite whatever, is still a top five coaching job.
So, I mean, he was the offensive assistant at Clemson and Alabama.
I know. I just don't know if he's a big enough name. Like, Woodward likes to go for these big names. Like, it's going to be something big. That's why I throw out, like, a Saban. You know, you got to make that phone call. Like, and make Saban say no. I could see Kiffin. The guy from Penn State. What's his name? Franklin something.
Yeah, I'm not opposed to.
I don't know who I don't know who I want exactly. I mean, I said Aranda. I wouldn't mind Aranda at all. I don't know exactly who I want. I don't want Stoops though. I don't want Stoops. I don't want Urban Meyer.
You also said that you do not want Joe Brady.
And I do not want Joe Brady.
Is there a bigger name than Joe Brady?
Yeah. I told you, Nick Saban.
No, I'm a bigger name that would even return the phone call.
Nick Saban will return a phone call. I promise you 1,000% Nick Saban will return a phone call. His wife loves Baton Rouge. Loves Baton Rouge. And he would absolutely return a phone call. 100%. He'd be stupid not to, just to hear what Woodward had to say, even if it's to call him back and say, no, I'm not interested. I don't know. I don't want Brady. I don't want Stoops, and I don't want Urban Meyer. Anyone else?
Yeah, I have no interest in Urban Meyer. And there's
pretty decent. I'm pretty useful.
0% chance after what we've been through the last couple of years that they would, I think, talk to Urban
Meyer. Yeah. And Brady's never been a head coach.
You can't stay away from the ugly girls in Ohio. You think you can stay away from the Louisiana women?
Brady's never been a head coach. And I just, they're going to have somebody with experience. It's going to be somebody with experience, with head coaching experience. Or Bieniemy. I take Bieniemy in a heartbeat.
Sure.
I know you don't like him.
No, I mean, I think that I put him on the list above these, above some of the other people. Again, think that's a big name. I'd take Brady before Bieniemy. I think that everybody would be super excited. Again, talking about recruiting, Joe Brady can say, guess what happened the last time I was here? Guess what I did?
Passing game coordinator.
I made the greatest. Well, he was 100% to give credit to for it. I mean, he can say, I left, they screwed all this up. Well, the last time I was here, we had the best offense in the history of the college football game. That's going to help you recruiting. And nobody can argue with it. And nobody's forgetting the one thing about Bob Stoops. There's going to be some 18-year-olds that have no idea who the hell Bob Stoops is. Their parents do. Their parents that are giving them advice on where to go, or their agents that are helping them sign NIL deals, they knew who Bob Stoops is. All these players know who the hell Joe Brady is, and they know who Joe Burrow is. And a lot of people loved watching the highlights of that 2019 LSU team.
Yeah, I just, I don't know.
Now, the problem is Joe Brady comes here. He probably wants to keep his buddy Pete's.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, I don't know. And then you're going to have to get somebody who can coach defense.
Ryan Nielsen.
Jesus. Okay.
Try that again.
Try that again. All right. I know. I don't know. We'll see. I'm sure there will be time to, like I said, speculate and whatnot, but I really would like them to see move on Coach O in the bye week, but that's just me. And I'm not really a fan of hiring a coach midseason, but I
Me
think
either.
he's just a liability at this point. All right, let's go around the SEC a little bit, talk about the games from this past weekend. Well, the biggest upset of the weekend came from Texas A&M defeating Alabama 41-38. Jimbo Fisher becomes the first protege, I guess you could say, of Nick Saban's to actually beat him. No, none of his coaches that were under him have ever beaten him until Nick Saban. I mean, until Jimbo Fisher. So, congrats, Jimbo. That was a really good game to watch. I
Second
believe.
best game in the SEC this past week.
I know the first wasn't Kentucky
Oh.
and LSU. Next game, Georgia defeated Auburn 34-10. You pretty much knew that was coming, that Georgia
Wasn't
was going to win
that
that game.
close either.
No, it
At
really
34-10
wasn't.
is a big spread. It wasn't even that close.
Ole Miss
Here we
beats
go.
Arkansas 52-51. If you like
Great game.
offense, this was the game to watch
Great,
because there was
exciting game.
no defense at all whatsoever. Which, you talk about Lane Kiffin. Yeah, it's great to score 52 points, but
Well,
you do something
and
on defense.
Arkansas goes for a 2-point conversion
Yes.
with no time remaining to try to win the game. I
Yep.
mean, I like the call. Like, what are you doing? Arkansas
Yeah.
wasn't expected to be
Yeah,
anything this year.
it was a ballsy
And
call.
they're at Ole Miss. It was a ballsy call, but yeah, that was a
Well,
fun game.
it was interesting to watch because so you're at Ole Miss. Arkansas has a play at the goal line with, I want to say, like 6 seconds left, and they throw an incomplete pass, and you think the game's over. But you look up, and there's literally 1 second on the clock. I'm like, can I not get a home clock? Could you not let 1 second, please, tick off the clock? And you saw Lane Kiffin's face. He's like, oh my God, I can't believe this. And Arkansas got one more play and scored a touchdown. And then, like you said, went for two and missed. But that was definitely an exciting game for sure. Next game, Florida defeated Vanderbilt 42-0. No surprise on that one. Tennessee defeated South Carolina 45-20.
Hey, Tennessee's 4-2. I
They
mean,
are four and
and scored
two.
45 points.
Yeah, it's pretty decent. Who
A
is, let's
weird.
see, who's, let me look at Tennessee's schedule. Bowling Green, Pitt, they lost to Pitt.
Lost to
I don't
Florida.
lost to Florida,
Blew out
Tennessee,
Missouri.
Chattanooga, blew out Missouri, and beat South Carolina. So, I mean, they've
They
got
got
Ole
Ole Miss,
Miss.
Alabama,
They'll
Kentucky,
probably
and Georgia
lose.
coming
Oh,
up.
they're losing their next four games.
They got a tough next four games.
Yeah, they're losing their next four games. Yeah, for sure. And Missouri defeated North Texas 40. Oh, hold on, where did that score go?
Alma
48.
mater of Craig Robertson.
It's 48-35. Missouri beat them. I guess I should have done the Florida game last because that's who we're playing next week. But they won 42-0 against Vanderbilt. Next week's game against Florida, 11 o'clock, Tiger Stadium. Probably a half empty Tiger Stadium due to the fact that one is at 11 o'clock, and two, you've seen how the Tigers have been playing.
Florida favored by 11.5, which seems absolutely ridiculous considering the way Florida runs the ball and the way that LSU does not tackle people at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
This is not, I mean, this is like to me about as bad a matchup as you can look at as far as what their strength is and where we're going to have problems.
It's not going to be pretty. If you thought Kentucky was bad, Florida is going to be just as bad, if not worse. And then Ole Miss will be a little worse. And then Bama is just going to be a shit show.
How early are you getting out there to tailgate for this game, Scott?
So, I was going to tailgate and I completely forgot that I have another obligation Saturday morning, and from 9 to 10. So I will not be going to tailgate. Otherwise, I probably would be. If it would have been a night game, I for sure would have gone. More so just to tailgate and to eat and drink. But since it's that early, I forgot that I did have a obligation, so I will not be going to the game, which is probably a good thing. I probably could get free tickets too, because I don't think anybody...
think you can get them for $33 right now.
Yeah, if not less. So coming into this game, like we said, the O-line should be up and healthy. We'll have some changes at defense. Butte's out. What wide receiver do you expect to kind of step up?
So strangely enough, like if I was just going off of what I've seen this year, I would have thrown Brian Thomas's name out there. I've liked what I've seen from him as a young guy. That is like O named three different receivers and he didn't name Thomas or Palmer, which was weird.
Very interesting.
But I mean, he's throwing out like Neighbors and Jenkins and Smith. Yeah. Neighbors looked
had a decent game.
Yeah, he had a decent game, but he has seven catches on the year. I mean, again, Brian Thomas has 14. We besides Boutte, nobody has anything good. Just from watching the games, I like Thomas. Not sure why he wasn't, why O named every other receiver but him. But from what I've seen, I like him. I mean, we have Besh too.
I was going to mention that. We have Besh. It could be a Besh game. It could be, where we're going to try to see who can do what at running back again and rush the ball a lot.
There's no reason for this team not to blitz the crap out of Max Johnson. And if that goes the way, I have no faith that we're going to see the blitz coming and throw screen passes or swing the ball to the outside, because we didn't do that against anybody else who's blitzed this year. This could be a pretty ugly game.
Yeah, it's really like one-dimensional. I'm going to watch the game, but I almost don't want to watch the game, if that makes any sense. Like, I've watched every LSU football game that I had that I could before I can remember. And I don't want to ever, I remember, before the Vasabin, with DiNardo and with Mike Archer going to those games and it just being empty. And this game almost kind of has a feel like in DiNardo's last year, the day after we played, the day after Thanksgiving, we played Arkansas. Arkansas was very good that year. If they beat us, they would go to the SEC championship game, and LSU was not good. And LSU came out just inspired and beat the shit out of them. Rondale Mealy went off, had a ton of yards. I was at that game. It was actually the last game I went to before my dad passed away. We went together. He actually died a few days later. That game was on a Friday. My dad died on a Sunday. So, it was the last kind of good memory I have with him. Maybe they'll rally. I don't know. Probably not.
I can go back to last year. Last year, we did this against Florida. Last year, we were a terrible team that looked lost.
Yeah.
And had nothing going on. And we beat Florida in the shoe game.
And we would have lost if it weren't for that dude throwing the shoe.
But I mean, we had a more spirited effort, even without that call. It was the most, the best the team had looked since Brennan went down. I don't see anything about what product we're putting on the field. And it's college and good teams lose to okay teams all the time and stuff. I can't even like say that out loud, but I think that there's an opportunity for us. I don't see how we keep it within the 11 and a half. I'm not sure how I being as positive as I can, where I can come up with that.
So what is your score prediction?
I'll say it's going to be 37 to 20.
Florida.
Yeah.
And
I'll be happy if it's that close.
Gosh, I'm going to go worse. I'm going to go like 45-10 Florida. I hope we do better. I hope we win. Don't get me wrong. I really want him to, but I don't know. I just don't know.
Like, I don't have a player that I can say can go out there and have their career game and lead us to
victory. We win. Yeah, I agree.
I mean, I agree. Not on offense or defense. I don't see somebody that has that superstar like potential right now that I can say, oh, okay, this person's going to take over and then this happens. There's just nothing about it that makes any sense. And I mean, some of that's injury, but then but I'm not even going to blame it on the injuries. It has to do with like, there's nothing about this team that I've seen coached that makes me think they're going to put one player in a position to lead the team like that.
Yeah, I agree. Any final thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, this is a train wreck. I'm not trying to sugarcoat it. Like, this isn't just Coach O. I don't know which coach on this team is doing their job and getting a player, whether it's motivated or coached correctly or giving them the ability to play well. This is honestly makes no sense when you're talking about the level of talent that LSU gets every year and what is on this team. We had all these excuses last year about 2019 ripping so many players out of our program, but we've had, you know, top five recruiting classes every year since then. And last year we had all the excuses that they're just not good excuses this year. Those players have more experience. Those players are older. At the start of this year, those players were healthy. This is a massive problem that, I mean, again, with proper coaching, I think can be turned around way quicker with a college team than it can with an NFL team. That's why it's really important that we get the right coach and then that coach gets the right coaching staff. This is something that can be fixed next year. I really believe that.
Yeah, I mean, you have the talent on this team that if you get a good coach and good coordinators in here, yep, they can flip it around really
fast.
There's
no such thing as a rebuild with a
top, yeah, no,
college team like that.
No, it's not. You get a new coach who's good and knows what they're doing. You know, it's not going to take 3 or 4 years for them to rebound. It's a one-year turnaround.
And I'll say, too, I think that the 7 transfer scholarship rule that they made a few weeks ago is going to be a massive help to LSU because we are going to have transfers, mm-hmm, but we're going to get some transfers, too. It's going to open up some different opportunities. I think for everybody that we lose to transfer, we can gain a great person too.
Right.
And that 7 extra transfers is going to make a big difference for us.
Absolutely. For sure. And my final thought, it really isn't football related, but LSU did get a 5-star recruit, Julian Phillips, for basketball. This is the 5th consecutive season that Will Wade has gotten a 5-star commitment. He chose LSU over USC, Florida State, and Tennessee. He is a 6'7" small forward and is the number 14 overall player in the class of 2022. So that's pretty sweet. LSU baseball has been having some fall scrimmages. I think they have some this weekend. Go out and check them out. Gymnastics is starting to practice again. They had their first inter-squad today. So they'll be coming up. LSU basketball will be coming. Women's basketball. We will cover all that when the time comes. But anyway.
You mentioned Wade Wilson. Does he have a son? In high school playing
Will
football
Wade
as a quarterback?
No. Maybe a grandson. Maybe a grandson, but definitely not a son. That is all the show we have for you right now. We want to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and for telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol United Network, where you only have to subscribe to one feed to receive multiple podcasts for free, including the 2-Point Conversion Instant Reaction Show, which we do after every Saints game, the Dome Patrol podcast, which was a really good episode this week, probably the best one I've heard in a long time.
You mean the BS and Beer? Okay, yeah.
The BS and Beer Saints podcast, which was also a very good episode this week, probably the best one I've heard in a long time. The Pelican Plunge, the Premier League podcast, Taking the Over with Billy Gunn, and of course, the Tigers Den. Follow each show on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast, at Dome Patrol UK, at BS and Beer Media, at Taking the Over, at Tiger_podcast, and at Dome Patrol Prem. Follow us on Facebook and Twitch for live streams at twitch.tv/Stone Patrol Podcast. If you are on Discord, we have a Discord channel where you can come on and chat with us during the Saints games, chat with us live. We have a lot of listeners on there already. If you're interested in coming and chatting with us, just email one of those, DM one of those Twitter handles that I just gave you, and we will set you up with a invite for that. It is also free. Again, there are some podcasts that are charging for that, but we like to give our fans a little bit extra for free. And if you want to listen to us the old-fashioned way, you can always go to DontPatrolPodcast.com. Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, LSU gymnastics donkeys.
Good night, Tiger Nation.
Hey, fighting tigers, fight all the way. Hey, fighting tigers, win the game today. You've got to know how you're doing fine. Hang on to the ball and you hit the wall and stand right through that line. You gotta go for the touchdown. Run up the score. It might be time to stand right.